Nothing but the blood. Amen. Turn in your Bible to the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 4. The book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 4. I want you to hear this message. It's been a great while since I actually used this text, although it's one of the favorite texts of my ministry. 1 Thessalonians 4, we'll begin with verse 14. As I give you opportunity to discover the exact location, I want you to read with me because I want us to be changed by this message this morning. Tonight, the message will come from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. These books of the Thessalonian letters were written to the church at Thessalonica. It was a place where Paul had had a great revival, tremendous revival, and he writes back to teach them and encourage them. And sometimes as Paul writes, he will make mention of something that occurred when he was there. I like that because it takes you then to the book of Acts. I hope you still read in the book of Acts, which we will continue to read until revival. Revival begins the 9th of November. I had hoped it would be on the 3rd, or the 2nd, I believe it was, and it cannot be till the 9th, going by Brother Mike Switzer's schedule. I'm excited. So you got two more weeks to read the book of Acts through every week if you can. I've read it through three times, except two chapters I lack in the last. And yesterday had got so busy. We had a wonderful birthday party for Sister Ruby Williams. She would be 60 years old if you'll add 20 more years to that. Is that okay, Sister Ruby, that I tell them? Happy birthday, Sister Ruby. It's also Sister Judy's birthday somewhere in here. Sister Judy's birthday yesterday. Juanita Ballard's birthday. So would everybody just say happy birthday? We do love you very much, very much. And Sister Ruby's birthday party was really a special occasion. Many, many people that you didn't know was going to be there, she didn't even know about it. But it was a beautiful crowd and people that we love, people that we care about. All right, we read together 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus. You know whom they are, right? These are people who've died in the Lord. These people who have already been buried and they are with the Lord. They're up in heaven. See, to be absent from the body for a saint of God is to be present with the Lord. You don't go into some, unconscious state, just in immobility. But when if you know the Lord, you go straight to be with Him. If you don't know the Lord, you go straight to be with the other fella on the lower side of the spectrum. You go to a place called hell if you're not saved. You go to a place called heaven if you're saved. That's when you die. Now, your body doesn't go, but your spirit and soul goes. The body goes into the grave. And so here we see the picture. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus, notice this, will God bring with him. Did you see that? Which God will bring with him. So all the saints that have gone to heaven in their spirit and soul, their bodies in the grave, all of them will come with Jesus when he descends for this great day we call the rapture. Now, if anybody's ever told you the rapture is a secret affair that nobody will know about till they wake up the next morning or until they look around and see people have disappeared, they told you something that's not in this Bible. Because I'm going to tell you, this is not going to be no secret affair. When millions on top of millions on top of millions of saints come with Jesus back from heaven into the midair, and simultaneously as they come with him, their graves are opened. I mean opened where you can see the hole, and their bodies come out of those graves. If you think that can happen secretly, you've got a very odd a sense of imagination. It isn't going to be secret. In fact, there's so much more that goes with it that I shall share a little with you. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord, we which are still living when he comes, shall not prevent them which are asleep. We're not going to hinder them. We're not going to prevent them. It's going to be simultaneous. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. For the Lord, and that's my text, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. You may be seated. Now, listen to me carefully. Keep your Bible opened. We will go forward to Jude a little bit. We'll probably go to 2 Peter a little bit. And I want to do my best this morning to preach on this thought, for the Lord himself shall descend. For the Lord himself shall descend. When you begin to think about the blessed Son of God, so loved by his disciples and so loved by the large number of believers when he was here on earth, as he was crucified and resurrected and ascended, and then immediately 40 days later, the Holy Ghost was poured out in a Holy Ghost revival, and literally thousands and tens of thousands and tens on top of tens of thousands of people were saved by that early church, that first generation of the church. It was a multitude. There are even suggestions that by the end of the 100 years or somewhere close, half of the world had been converted to Jesus Christ. Those disciples went into Africa. They went over into Asia. They went over into the English countries. They went upward. They went everywhere there were people, and they preached this glorious gospel. They did it with such power and such anointing. The preachers were a flame of fire in that day, and if God had his way, that's what they'd be today, a flame of fire. That's what the Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter 1, that he made his angel spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. And I've been wondering where that fire is, and I got to have it as I've never known it in my life. So to think of this Jesus, that all those people that were saved, they knew he had been there on the earth. They had good acquaintance with him and what he represented. Many rejected him, especially the religious Jews, but multitudes was gloriously converted. And there was a saying that went around in that day that Jesus was coming imminently. They were looking for him to come in their lifespan. They were actually looking for him to come in their lifespan. They actually believed, Brother Ed, they actually believed that they could just be had to be ready any moment. Any moment, and you see in all these letters how they warn, don't let nothing keep you from being ready. They would say unto them that look for him shall he appear. And so everybody was looking for him. And literally, they expected Jesus to descend just like they saw him ascend and come and get them in their lifetime. It was a beautiful picture. And even in this text, you can see that Apostle Paul is trying to warn them. You're all troubled because some of the saints have died. And Jesus hasn't come yet. And so Paul was trying to tell them, don't be troubled about them, because they'll come with him when he comes. They've gone to heaven, but they'll come back. Now think about this. Think about Jesus returning back in the sky over our heads and bringing with him every saint of God that has died since the day of this early church, and then the Old Testament saints even before he died, because they died in faith looking for him. Can you imagine? Can you imagine the heavenly scene that we will visibly be able to see when Jesus comes with these tens and tens and tens and tens of thousands of the great saints of God who've gone on to heaven? My friend, if you don't understand this and get some sense of this, then the rapture is not going to mean to you what God wants it to mean to you. I have this feeling way inside that most of the world today has this cheesy feeling about the rapture. This half-hearted, half-meaning, kind of careless, just almost as though it's just a fun day that we're looking forward to. And most people aren't even looking forward to it. And most people think, well, it'll probably be hundreds and hundreds and even thousands of years down the road. There's no sense of it. But that early church lived in the sense of it occurring any moment. If I could get you this morning to have a sense of his coming, like you see in this passage of Scripture, the expectation, the anticipation, the excitement, the joy, just the privilege. Here were people whose mother has died, and their daddy has died, and grandfather has died, and some cousins have died, and siblings, brothers, sisters, and saints of God in the churches where they were all part of. They were just excited. They couldn't wait to see those loved ones again. They couldn't wait to meet them. And Paul is letting them know when Jesus comes, they're going to come with him. They're going to come with him, and then we're going to rise up to meet them, and together we're going to go back to heaven. Can you imagine all the hugging and all the excitement that's going to go on, even in the midair, while we are traveling toward heaven with Jesus? Can you imagine the excitement and the joy? Somebody say praise the Lord or something. What a moment that's going to be. What a day that's going to be. Well, it says, for we, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, we also believe that them that sleep with Jesus will come with him. And oh, the joy of thinking of his coming and anticipating his coming and knowing that the Son of God. Now, you say, what will he look like? Will we actually see him in the sky above us? Will we have a visible look at him when he comes? Well, the Bible doesn't seem to indicate one way or the other. I presume it will be that we will see him and that we will know when he comes who he is. Well, how would I have some idea of how he may look? Well, go to Revelation, the book of Revelation. Go to chapter 1 of verse 10. Let me show you what John the Revelator saw. Now, if John the Revelator saw this vision of Jesus, I am of the opinion that John the Revelator is giving us this picture so that we will know whom we look for when he comes in the sky. Do you hear me? I mean, this is a picture of how John saw Jesus after the resurrection, after the ascension, when he's going to see this great vision of the book of Revelation. And John has this picture of Jesus. And let me read it to you. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice of a trumpet, as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. What thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches of Asia. Verse 12, and I turned to see the voice that spake with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the pipes with a golden girdle. His head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow. And his eyes were as a flame of fire. And his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace. And his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand 7 stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. That's the Jesus. I said, that's the Jesus. Listen to me now. That's the Jesus that's going to descend at any moment. That's the Jesus that's going to split the eastern sky. That's the Jesus that's about to show up there in the heavens above us. That's the Jesus that this world will have some sense of when he comes for the rapture of his church. Now, if John saw that, that's how he looks. That's the picture of him that I would want you to grasp and then expect at any moment he's coming. Oh, I said he's a coming as sure as my name is Joseph. He's a coming. And that's him. That's the Son of God. Now, you look at it and you see the beauty of it. And the Bible says his eyes was a flame of fire. His feet like unto fine brass as if they burned in a furnace. It said, all kinds of beautiful things about him. And what did John say? When I saw him, I fell like a dead man. Hallelujah. Now, the beauty of this is John was still in the flesh. He was still in the flesh. But when Jesus comes out of heaven and comes to get his saints, the saints are going to immediately be transformed into brand new glorified bodies so that when we look up there, we'll be transformed in the same moments of his coming. And we will meet him in the air and we won't have to fall dead because we'll have new, or fall as dead men, because we'll have brand new bodies gloriously transfigured and gloriously resurrected and gloriously changed to be like unto his body. Hallelujah. Now, I don't know whether you get excited about thinking of Jesus coming back in these heavens above us, but my Bible said he's coming back into the midair. And I'm here to tell you, if he's coming back into the midair, that means this world will know he's up there. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, he's coming. I said the king is coming. The rapture is going to be something so much bigger and so much grander than this world has ever had any idea of. It's going to be so far beyond human expectation. It's just all very, very weak today what this world is expecting. And most people do not believe for a moment he could come at any minute. I'm here to tell you, he could come before I finish this sermon, and I pray that he will. Hallelujah. I don't know of anything I'd rather see and hear than all the rumble and the glory and the majesty of the Master descending out of the heavens with all the grandeur of his transformed person. Hallelujah. He's been given a name which is above every name. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. Do you hear me? When he comes, it's going to be a glorious moment. Hallelujah. And that's how the rapture has got to start. It's got to start with Jesus coming in the clouds. He said, as you saw him go away, so shall he come again. Remember the angel saying that? He said, I'm going to prepare a place for you, but if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. If I could get you feeling for a moment, I can hardly wait for this old Joe Chambers to get that brand new body. This one's getting a little bit older. I wore my ears out. I wore my eyes out. Sometimes I think I wore my legs out and different parts of me just squeaking and screeching and don't respond like they ought to. And I understand all of that because he's getting me ready to give me a brand new body made like unto his own glorious body. Hallelujah. And when he comes in a moment's time, is suddenly, hallelujah, I'll be changed. I'll be made a new creature. Hallelujah. He comes in all the power of his heavenly person. He's a transformer. He's mighty to save. He's mighty to cleanse. He's mighty to sanctify. But he's going to be mighty to glorify. Hallelujah. What a moment that's going to be. Somebody's got to shout with me. Well, I'm just going to do it myself. Hallelujah. Listen to me, church. He's coming any moment. He's coming any moment. He's coming any moment. I'm leaving when he comes. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory! Hallelujah. I like this idea. I feel like Brother Marlin, the Holy Ghost gave it to me. Who are we looking for? How are we going to know him when he comes in the sky? When we start up through the air and we look at him who's meeting us to take us back to heaven, how are we going to know who he is, if he's the right one? There it is. John gave it to us. You like that? John gave it to us. He gave us exactly. Oh, hallelujah. He'll look like a priest in his glorious garb. He'll look like the triumphant one in the beauty of his eyes and the majesty of his person. He will beam in the glory of a heavenly being. Hallelujah. You don't have to worry about being mistaken. Can I just end with that? You don't have to worry about being mistaken. When you see him, you will know him. Hallelujah. When you see him, you will know him. When you see him, you will know him. Hallelujah. What a day it's going to be. What a day it's going to be. Well, the multitude of saints that are with him is a beautiful thing to behold. So let's take a moment. Now remember that Revelation chapter 1. Read it again tomorrow, today, maybe this week. Chapter 1 verses 10 right on down through 17. And look at the beauty. Look at the beauty of this blessed one that's coming to get us. Now let's go back one page or two. The book of Jude. That's the last book before Revelation. If you're not well acquainted with your Bible. The last book before Revelation. Go to verse 14. There's only one chapter. And Enoch, also the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints. Now that 10,000 is got an S, which it means 10,000 times 10,000 times 10,000 times 10,000. Just a multiplicity of 10,000s. Everybody saved, already been glorified with already been with the Lord, but not yet receiving their new bodies. Every one of them will come back with him. They won't leave nobody behind. Every saint will come. And it says very clearly, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. Now, somebody tell you that's going to be a secret moment when this 10,000 times 10,000 of saints come back with this great triumphant one we just saw in Revelation 1. And that's all that's going to be secret. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something. Let's say there's 10 million. Let's say there's 100 million saints. And every one of those 100 million saints that's gone to heaven, their bodies has got to come up out of that earth. That means 100 million graves opening at the same time. That means the rumbling and the noise of all this rumble of the earth as these millions of graves open simultaneously. You've never heard such a roar in your life. Hallelujah. Anybody listening to me? 10 million saints of God, their graves opening simultaneously all over this globe. Some of them are in highways. Some of them are under houses. Some of them are in fields. Some of them are just everywhere you can imagine, where people have been buried through the thousands of years. Hallelujah. And all of these graves opening simultaneously, and those saints coming up out of those graves. Hallelujah. And if you think they're going to come out of those graves without some shouting and some praising and some magnifying God, you just don't have no understanding of what this rapture is going to be. Because the shout and the praises and the hallelujahs and the worship of this multitude coming up out of their graves. Am I preaching the truth? Woo, hallelujah to the Lord. Hear me, church. You don't want to miss this. Oh, hallelujah. You see, I'm telling you, I somehow feel like I'm just getting old enough to grasp some of these great truths in the Bible that I've never really got a hold of before. And just the one I just shared with you in Revelation 1. Of this very Christ in his glorious resurrected form, in his majestic person coming down out of heavens to the earth. Let me tell you, that will be some kind of an event. And then you get all these millions of saints coming up out of their graves to rise and meet him in the air. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The heavens will be full of saints rising. And they're going to be glorified bodies. They're going to be visible. And this world's going to see them. Oh, I said, collaborate on my life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen to me, church. Now, that's a pretty big crowd. What do you say? Jesus, resurrected glory, majestic in all his beauty, eyes like a flame of fire, his voice like the sounding of many waters. He'll say, come up hither. I tell you, when he declares that glorious invitation for the saints to rise out of their graves, it will ring like a marvelous, marvelous bell around this old globe. Hallelujah. Those saints coming up out of their graves, and then all of a sudden, living saints. Everybody that knows him and walks with him, that's looking for him, that's passionate about the Bible, all over this world, Africa and India and China and South America and Canada and America and the Ukraine, and you just name the countries of the world, there's saints of God every which way and everywhere, and all of a sudden here they go and they rise and their bodies are transformed and they put on this beautiful glorified form that's all ready for them to be dressed anew. Hallelujah. You're talking about a crowd. Now, I haven't got to one crowd yet. Multiplicity of angels are going to take part in this marvelous event. So you've got Jesus coming down from heaven. You've got the dead saints rising out of the grave. You've got this glorious Christ being seen up in the heavens above. And then you got all these glorious saints. And then you got all the people of God around the earth being transformed. These are the living saints. And then you've got angels. Multiplicity of angels beyond numbering. Hallelujah. More angels than you can imagine. And all they are with them, these heavens are going to be full of angels and risen saints and glorified living saints and the Christ himself in the middle of that great crowd. Hallelujah. And that's going to be the rapture. That's going to be the rapture. It ain't going to be secret. It ain't going to be without the world notice. In fact, you got 144,000 Jews that get saved immediately after the rapture, and they're the sealed Jews in chapter 7 of Revelation. Now, why do they get saved immediately after the rapture? They don't even believe in Christ. When that resurrection, when that glorious rapture, when all these saints of God being raised out of their graves, when all these things happening, I tell you, it would take somebody dumber than you can imagine not to know that that's the Christ, that's the Son of God, that's the Blessed One. Hallelujah. He's real. He's real. And so those 144,000 Jews get saved, and multitudes of Gentiles start getting saved. I used to hear that nobody will be saved after the rapture. That's tomfoolery. There's a lot of people still believe that. They just don't believe the book of Revelation if they believe that. Because this book makes it very plain. The devil will start killing Christians by the thousands after the rapture. And there wasn't Christians when the rapture occurred. If they were, they were lukewarm and indifferent and lazy and sitting on pews with no spiritual passion. They'd lost the fire, so they didn't go in the rapture. And there'll be a whole lot of them, I want to tell you. I pray there won't be nobody out of this church. I pray there won't be nobody out of this church. I want everybody to go. But you got to hear me. When the Lord comes, it's going to be glorious beyond words. You just don't have no idea of how glorious this event's going to be. Let me read a little more of Jude. I love this book. Likewise also, these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael, the archangel, which contended with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, doth not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke you. Now go to verse 15. To execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all of their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Now, when he comes for the rapture, with multitudes of saints with him, 10,000, tens of thousands, then immediately there starts this judgment of the wicked. That's the 7-year tribulation period. You go to Revelation 6 and you have a perfect picture of it as it plays out in that marvelous hour. Now it talks about these are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust. Their mouths speaking great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. How that they told you there should be mockers in the last days, who should walk after their own ungodly lust. These be those who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. And that's the crowd's going to get left. That's the multitude that's not going to go. Murmurers and complainers, people walking after their own course, after their own desire, people who have other persons in their admiration. Be careful. Be careful. Don't get nobody in your admiration that takes the place of your love for Jesus and the Savior. Don't turn your eyes on no particular preacher, not me, not no other preacher. You keep your eyes on Jesus. You keep your eyes on the Son of God. You keep your eyes on the Christ of Calvary. You keep your eyes on the Blessed One. He's up there at the Father's right hand. But I'm telling you right now, He's getting ready to leave up there. Hallelujah. And come to get us. Oh, what a moment. What a day. I can hardly wait. Now go back, if you might, to the book of 1 Thessalonians. I want to make sure I finish that text this morning. It's beautiful to think of exactly where we are. To think of exactly where we are living. To think of exactly what we can expect. Listen to me. In our lifetime. I want you to say this with me. In. Everybody together. In. Our. Lifetime. Now I believe that's when Jesus is coming. I don't believe it's. I mean, I may be old enough that I pass. I don't know about that. But I just doubt very seriously that it's that long away. I'm looking for Him any moment. I just believe we can look at our world and the mess it's in and the attitude it's in. Look at what the politicians are doing. Look at the same-sex marriage. Do you understand this morning that America is now a sodomite nation? How many of you understand America is now a sodomite nation? There's no question. We are a sodomite nation. And nobody has had more to do with that than Obama. He went into office. I saw the website the day he was inaugurated. And on his website was the plain words, we are going to raise the homosexual community to a new level. They were committed from day one to champion the cause of the sodomites of America. And 6 years he's done it. And now we are a sodomite nation. And preachers are being warned in cities around America. You can't say no to a homosexual couple that wants to get married. You watch my word. If Jesus tarries a while, they'll be knocking on that door out there and saying to Brother Chambers, we come because we need someone to marry us. And I got a good one. I don't marry nobody but those who are part of this church. So I can say to them, I'm sorry, I'm marrying nobody but people who are part of this church. But I can tell you, I will be so brazen and I will be so determined to let them know that I will say plainly and unequivocally, I do not marry lesbians and I do not marry homosexuals. You say they'll put you in jail. I can't wait. I need a few days of rest. And you'll bring me chewing gum, won't you? Will you? How many can see you will bring me chewing gum? All right, I need something besides chewing gum now. All right, now listen to me, church. Listen to me. We are in an hour in which it is unreal, 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 absolutely. It's amazing to even consider that in my lifetime, we've gone from when I was saved and started preaching about 1957, I started preaching, and I could go preach in Baptist and Methodist and Presbyterian. I could preach any church around, and they wasn't that different from what I believed. I mean, I remember that. I remember having an Episcopalian priest who was one of my dearest friends when we pastored in Black Mountain. I remember we agreed on almost everything we talked about. I mean, we have come to an hour that's almost indescribable. It really is. You go to meetings today where there's a lot of people, and you'll see 2/3 of them used to be holiness people who've compromised their standard of holiness. And if you dare say anything to them about it, they'll become angry with you and call you an old holier-than-thou person. Let me tell you something, church. God's got a people ready to go in that rapture, and I got to be one of them. I said, I got to be one of them. Anybody in here that's got to be part of that rapture-ready crowd, I want you to stand up right now. If you got to be part of that rapture-ready crowd, nothing would you compromise with to keep you from being ready when the king comes. Oh, I'm telling you. Oh, hallelujah. Praise him a little bit before you're seated, will you? Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 What a day. What a day. You can be seated when you finish. Praise the Lord. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Now, I added all the kind of things happening a while ago, but now it's going to be a shout like you have never heard. No wonder nobody is going to miss knowing when this occurs. Oh, there'll be a lot of people who will be just as angry. They're so committed to sin and wickedness that they'll reject everything that we're talking about us seeing and them seeing. They'll reject everything. I mean, people who backslid that once lived a holy and clean life, almost anything can convince them anymore. I mean, it's sad. It's sad that the failure to discern truth that exists in our world. It's so lacking. Discernment of truth. See, if you ever give up the truth and turn from it, you lose your sense of discernment. And your mind becomes just all confused and boggled. And you have no grasp of what's right and wrong anymore. And people do all kinds of sins. They do all kinds of things in their claim of being Christians that they know the Bible speaks solely against. And they'll say to you, well, I just don't interpret it that way. Or I just don't understand it that way. You don't have a right to interpret it any way but the plain way. Whatever it says is what it means. Whatever it says is how it's going to be. And you can believe this. You can believe it. The Lord himself, we which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. See, it's all going to be up there. Do you get this? I want to make sure you take this home with you. In the air, right up there above us. I mean, this world is going to become so aware and so understanding. And the darkness that's going to descend up on the world. And as these people who've missed the rapture begins to look around them and they see the wickedness. They see people that are unbridled any longer. The police have no power any longer. There's no ins and outs and rights and wrongs. It's everything's okay. My friend, it's going to be a world beyond description. And I wouldn't be here for 10,000 worlds like this one and all the money that they could give me. Not me. Comfort one another with these words. And I just want to leave you comforted this morning. I want to leave you comforted. I want you to know. Now listen to me. Look at me. Please, I want your attention. I want you to know that if you are right with God and you are living a life according to this Bible, and if you are committed to the walk of Christian living and faithful service to God and his church, if you have given up the world and you've turned from everything like the world, you don't even desire it any longer. If you desire the things of this world, something's wrong. You become so committed, so dedicated, so ready. Now, church, he's coming, and I want you to go. I want right now, right here this morning, I want it to be settled. I want you to have it settled in your mind. I want you to make up your mind beyond measure. I am going to be ready for this event. Nothing's going to get my attention. You see, if you are half-hearted this morning and you leave here half-hearted, it's a pretty good fact that you probably won't be ready when he comes. Because if you can be half-hearted with what's going on in our world, have you read the news lately? Have you watched anything about all the different things taking place on a worldwide scene? Are you aware of the fighting that's going on in country after country? Are you aware of the forces of evil that are determined? I mean, I listen to just the things that Putin says up in Russia. He is determined again to become a worldwide power. And he's threatening anybody that even would suggest the stopping of him. I mean, just that one force could spell disaster for our world. And then you look at the ISIS and the jihadists of the Islamic faith. And then you look at other things happening on the world scene. Brother, it's not a pretty picture. But if you want to go, when Jesus comes, you can leave. If you want to stay, anybody wants to stay, raise your hand when Jesus comes. You want to stay down here. Anybody? Nobody? Well, you better do something about it if you're not walking close to him. Let's get ready to go. What do you say? Everybody in this building, that you're determined to be wholly his. You're determined to walk with God. You're determined to be a part of your church life. Now listen, you can't go in that rapture if you're half-hearted about church life. You got to have a passion for this Bible. Well, you'd rather be in preaching than you want to be anywhere else in the world. I just don't believe in half-hearted church attendance. You know I don't believe in that, don't you? Well, are you really wanting to go in that rapture? Well, if you do, you're going to be looking for him. And he's going to be the grand desire of your heart and life. And if you want to go, stand up, would you? I've got to go. I'm determined to go. I'm determined to pay any price. I'm determined to devote every part of me. I'm determined to give up everything about this world. I'm determined to be wholly his. Now slip your hand up. And right there in your place, I want you to tell him how determined you are. Father, I am determined. I'm going to be a minister that's a flame of fire for you, if you will help me. I'm going to preach these glorious truths of this Holy Bible. I'm going to declare these wonderful, wonderful, wonderful doctrines of truth. I'm going to lift up your word and proclaim your word and walk with you, Lord. You are the center of my life. Can you say that? Raise your hand way up high and say it. I'm yours, Lord. Everything I am is yours. Hallelujah. Just keep your hands up and let's love on him a minute. Hallelujah. Sweet Holy Ghost, get us ready. Sweet Holy Ghost, get us ready. Sweet Holy Ghost, get us ready. Oh, church, listen to me. It's going to be a joyous moment. Let's meet at this altar and congeal this together. Will you? Let's meet at this altar and make sure we give it all. Bring your children with you, mommies and daddies. Bring everybody in your family with you. And come here and stand before God and give it all. Come on, give it all. Give it all. You see, my friends don't like me being so faithful to church. And I'm too busy in the things of this. Oh, you put that aside and you make Jesus the center of it. All you put him at the very helm of your life. You give him everything. Now raise your hands up and give it to him. Father, we give you our all this morning. We're not going to be half-hearted about Christ any longer. We're going to get in the middle of God's kingdom and God's work and God's church. We're going to be totally thine, Lord. We're going to walk in purity and holiness and righteousness, and we're going to do the business of the Father, and we're going to live a life of total abandonment. How many mean that? Shout hallelujah if you mean that. Shout it hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to be totally his. No more playing games about Christ with me. Woo, hallelujah. Oh, I can't.